welcome here this evening. Most mayors and presidents across the Northern Territory will be here over the next few days because the Local Government Association general meeting and AGM is being held here in Alice Springs. Just a quick reminder to all councillors that the meeting's being recorded and will be placed on the council's website. So to start the evening, I'm going to ask Captain Thomas of the Alice Springs Salvation Army to present the prayer for tonight's meeting. So please everybody be upstanding.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this town of Alice Springs, a unique and beautiful town, but a town that has its own share of problems and issues. And I thank you for this group of people who are committed to supporting our town, to making it a better place. Lord, I just pray that you will be with each of them at this time. I pray through this meeting that there will be a sense of peace and calm. I pray for unity and clarity in the decision making that will be made. Just pray for each person, for the people of the public that are also part of it. And Lord, I also give thanks for the events that will be happening on this weekend. The lighting of the Christmas tree, the carols by candlelight that will bring our community together. And I just pray through that there'll be a sense of peace. And let us join together as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Captain Thomas. I've invited you to be seated. Are there any apologies, Mr. CEO?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. An apology from Councillor Dave Douglas on sick leave.
Thank you. And I apologise for not being in the room at the last meeting, but it was a very interesting meeting to partake by phone. But thank you to the others here. Welcome to members of the public here this evening. Are there any questions from members of the public about items on the agenda or any other business of council? Okay. Do any councillors wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on our agenda this evening pursuant to section 7374 of the Local Government Act 2015? So in accordance with section 673 of the Local Government Act 2015, I present the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held here on Monday the 31st of October for confirmation. Could I please ask a councillor who was present at that meeting to move those? Deputy Mayor, I have a seconder, Councillor Melky. Are there any matters arising from those minutes that are not otherwise dealt with through this system of the evening? Thank you. Now, let's turn a few pages here. So I present my Mayor's report for the month, and I ask for a motion the report be received. Councillor Melky, seconded Councillor Kudrenko. All those in favour? Now, if I may, any members who have questions of my report, please. Report on any community activities that they've been involved in during the month, and I'll ask Councillor Melky to lead us off.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So during the course of November, I attended a series of meetings. Development committee meeting was the first of the month. I also attended the Henley on Todd AGM for early in the month, we went through the Supreme Court, attended a walkthrough, and thoroughly enjoyed the view from up top. Certainly hope that we don't have to visit any time soon in the middle when it's up and running. TCA AGM, I represented the council, and I would like to make a report, and I'll nominate that as one of my general business items today. Also attended, along with the mayor, the AICD course, director's course, over Friday and Saturday the 18th and 19th of November, and that also was very beneficial. Recently we had morning tea with the outgoing Director of Technical Services, Mr. Greg Buxton, and some very nice speeches were made, and Deputy Mayor De Bruni represented the elected members very well. Council Forum, also at the same time meeting with the Department of Families, the heads of Department of Family, the cluster group. Also the council committee meeting, obviously, and I had a separate meeting with Reg Hatch, Mr. Reg Hatch, regarding a proposal he put to me supporting the Masters Games, specifically the Masters Mile, and a combination event introducing cycling to the Masters Mile. Agreed to set up a meeting with Jim, head of Masters Games. Jim, thank you. Gosh, I've gone blank. Thank you. Jim Laurie, and that should be coming up soon. Also attended earlier in the month Ilpapa Road walkthrough with elected members, the Mayor, Councillor De Bruni, Councillor Brown, and that was an interesting experience that I think none of us will forget too soon, but a very good thing to do. And that concludes my report for the month of November, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks very much, Councillor Mielke. I now invite Councillor Kudrenko.
Thank you. Due to personal leave of 4 weeks this month, I haven't attended many community forums. I was back in time to attend our council forum and then committee meetings. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Kudrenko. Councillor Heenan.
Mr. Mayor, and likewise, I've been away for 4 weeks, so I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Heenan. Now, Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thank you very much. I presented at went to the Girls Academy presentation night at the Desert Wildlife Park and presented, meeting with the Mayor and Darren Burton, the walk at Ilpapa, marking out the path with other elected members, the official opening of the Ice Cream Festival in the Alice Plaza, attended the Ice Cream Festival dinner, CADRA presentation night where I presented awards, Motorsports NT Volunteer of the Year was presented that night, attended the Todd Mall Markets, the ice sculpting in the mall, which was part of the Ice Cream Festival, where Development Committee, meeting with His Worship and Tony Smith and Robin Donnelly, Alice Springs Arts Foundation monthly meeting, Development Consent Authority monthly meeting, Araluen Arts Collection on Paper exhibition, was a fantastic display. Congratulations to Aaron Lewin on that. Attended the YAG monthly meeting, laid a wreath at the Remembrance Day ceremony in Zakil. Had a meeting with Craig Tresice from the Darwin Basketball Association with the Mayor in regards to an idea they got in play. The Supreme Court walked through, Motorsports NT General Meeting, Parks Advisory Committee, Lasseter's Christmas Party, Desert Sports Committee Meeting, SFAC monthly meeting, awards presentation at Urara College, the Tech Services Director farewell morning tea, walked in the White Ribbon Day, which was fantastic, attended the off-road racing presentation night and presented, Alice Springs Arts Foundation AGM, the Araluen's Friends of Araluen's Christmas Party dinner and show, did the Saturday morning sports show and the song contest at the Totem Theatre production. Thank you.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Brown.
I did the Seniors Committee, the Sports Facility Advisory Committee, the Development Committee, Council's Development Committee, that is, public, the Parks Advisory Park Tour, the Parks Advisory Meeting, Development Consent Meeting, Ice Cream Festival Opening, Ice Cream Festival Dinner, Desert Sports Bingo Sessions by 4, Desert Sports Committee by 1, Little Papa Road walkthrough, hanging out the path with elected members, Council Forum, Netball Meeting at the Netball Centre, and the walk through the Supreme Court building.
Thanks very much, Councillor Brown. Councillor Price.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I've managed to get onto committee, forum, make Happy Day, as well as the walkthrough at the Supreme Courthouse, the upgraded Aranga Park Speedway opening, and also the White Ribbon Day March. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Price. So, are there any orders of the day, Mr. CEO?
There are none, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And now going to ask elected members and or officers provide any notification of matters to be raised in general business. Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two items, if I can get some support. On one being the TCA AGM I attended on behalf of Council, I'd like to present a report and possibly may encourage discussion around an issue from the TCA that was raised at the TCA AGM regarding and relating to Council directly. That's the first one, and the other one is the RSL Club rock throwing incident that was recently reported in the Central Island Advocate and other media.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Melky. A seconder for both those motions? Deputy Mayor, thank you. Not motions, but both those items. Thanks, Councillor Melky. Councillor Brown. I just left up. Okay, thank you. Deputations or petitions, Mr. CEO?
There are no deputations or petitions, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, are there any memorials?
There are no memorials.
Any notice of motion?
Yeah, there are no notice of motion.
Okay, I'm going to move on to reports of committees, and I'm going to call on the different chairs to deliver their reports. So first of all, I will actually, I know Councillor Hinton is the Chair of Finance, but I think the Deputy Mayor did the committee meeting, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, well, I'll call on you to present the Finance Committee meeting. Thank you. Recommendations?
Your Worship, I present the report of the Finance Committee held on the Monday, the 31st of October at 6 p.m. And invite members to withdraw any items they wished to debate separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of recommendations not withdrawn.
Okay. I think it was the 7/8th of October for the
14th of November.
14th?
Oh, beg your pardon. November. I'm just going off the top of here. Sorry. 14th. I beg your pardon.
Thank you. Anybody withdraw? No? I get you to move those then. Moved by Deputy Mayor. Moved items 1 and 2.
Thank you. If I could.
Yeah.
Your Worship, I'll move the items 1 and 2 then. Thank you.
Could I please have a seconder for those? Councillor Heenan. All in favour? Any against? Okay.
This now concludes my report.
Thanks very much. Now I'm going to move on to Corporate Community Services and call on the Chair. Did you chair this one, Councillor Kudrenko? Yeah, thank you very much. Call on you as the Chair of Corporate Community Services to present that report.
Thank you, Your Worship. I present the report of the Corporate and Community Services Committee, which was held on the 14th of November 2016, and I invite members to withdraw any items they wish to debate separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the items not so withdrawn.
Thank you. Could I withdraw 3, please?
Thank you. Your Worship, I move then in terms of items 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Thank you. Could I have a seconder, please, for those? Councillor Brown, those in favour? Any against? Only reason I've thank you, Councillor Kudrenko. The only reason I've withdrawn 3 is yes, we did catch up with, as Councillor Melky mentioned in his report, caught up with the hub that represents territory families, and I just wanted to check with the CEO that we've written to the minister.
At this stage, Mr. Mayor, we haven't. It was awaiting the formal adoption of this recommendation at tonight's meeting.
Okay.
Although we have invited, and the Minister has accepted, attending the December 12th Ordinary Council meeting to discuss this issue with elected members.
Good. Thank you. That was the only reason I withdrew it. I wanted to be sure of that. So thanks for that answer. I'll go back to you, Councillor Kudrinka.
Your Worship, I move then in terms of item 3.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Milkey, those in favour?
Thank you. That now concludes my report.
Thank you. Councillor Price, I expect you to sing out if there's any issues along the way. Now going to move on and invite the Chair of Technical Services, Councillor Milkey, to deliver his report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also would like to present the report of the Technical Services Committee held on the 17th of October, and invite members to withdraw any items they wish to debate separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the recommendations not so withdrawn.
Thank you. I'd like to withdraw 4, please.
Also.
4?
3 and 4, thank you.
All right. So Councillor De Brenny's got 3 and 4. Councillor Kudrinka, you have 4. Councillor Heenan has 4 also.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may, item 7, the Sports Facility Advisory Committee. There was an issue raised at last week's committee that the committee have asked me to raise at tonight's meeting.
Certainly. Thank you. Councillor Milkey.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I move then
Deputy Mayor, you're off. Okay.
Beg your pardon. So, Mr. Mayor, I move then in terms of 1, 2, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. Could I please actually have a seconder for those? Deputy Mayor, all in favour? Any against? All right, I move to number 3. Deputy Mayor withdrew.
Yeah, if I could, just in regards to the community consultation, have we started any process with this? Sorry?
Not till we pass this tonight.
Oh, beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just want to go with that. That noted the public response that's been is amazing, and if we can get to that consultation part, I do apologise. I just looked at that. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get you to move them all at the end, Councillor Milkey. I'll move on to 4, and I'll ask Councillor Kudrinka to kick off with 4.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't feel that our decision last fortnight at committees was entirely resolved, and certainly in my mind I didn't feel that the proposal that we'd put up was sufficient, and following that, I think it was the next day, the Deputy Mayor rang me and said, you need to go and have a look, there's been another accident there. And thinking about that accident and even just physically driving down that road, I think the solution that we put up needs more. That 2 speed bumps, which we discussed, and I think which is what's written here. 3. It's not even written here which way, how many we were talking about, but I think it probably... we need to do more. My preference would, if in the perfect world, would still be to install the roundabout, but I don't think we have the funds for that, so I'm opening it up for discussion.
Okay, thank you. Could I just mention, and one of the people in the gallery this evening put up a interesting suggestion earlier today, and that is around this discussion and following on from the reporting in the media after the last meeting, that and this person has lived on Woods Terrace for a long period of time. The process he's suggesting is that it needs a flat top speed hump to be installed just before the childcare centre from the Head Street end, another just after the childcare centre,
mm-hmm.
past the laneway before Cunos Street entry, and another one out the front of approximately 143 to 145 Woods Terrace. The one suggested near Cunoth Park be brought closer to the 40-kilometre sign from the Stuart Highway. So that's some suggestions. But I do believe that the Deputy Mayor also spoke about them, one down lower before you got to Priest Street. Is that correct? Well, that seems to be the takeoff zone coming off the Stuart Highway, and I think one of our members of parliament lives in that street and has reported speeding past there. So the street that you come up on now, I'm not sure whether there's a giveaway sign or not on that street, but
no giveaway along that length.
So it clearly needs one before they get to that crossover. So I've run out of fingers on one hand. That seems like about five of them at this stage. But I'm very keen to hear others' views. But I just wanted to read you a piece that was presented today.
I think that's a really practical solution, particularly close to the childcare centre, which I don't think we'd addressed properly before. And I think that is a risk. And also, I saw a near miss there today, right at the entry point, which, as you described, where people are entering, you know, and it was a clear demonstration of how people are entering at such high speed.
Just procedurally, could I ask you to remove standing orders? And then we'll have...
Remove standing orders.
Second over that, Councillor Melky. Those in favour? Any against?
Thank you.
Thanks. So, having taken on notice what you've just said, if I can just go to some of the others and see. I did have... Deputy Mayor DeBrenny and Councillor Heenan, and now I see I've got Councillor Melky's light on. So I will start following on from Councillor Pedranko. I'll go to the Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. You're right, originally we talked about two, one approximately just before Priest Street, and then one coming from the other end, which has been stipulated just after Cummings, which is right, but, you know, and it was a actually a bit scary because it was exactly the scenario we talked about in chambers on the Monday, and it happened that Monday night. I went and had a look at it again. I'd still recommend that one just before Priest Street. There is an existing traffic light as well. That'll initially wipe off
traffic
the...
street
light, I beg your pardon, sorry. Because one of the biggest costs is new street lighting. We could actually put it there and that would slow down the traffic actually for Priest Street, which we have had numerous accidents there where people have stuck their nose out. There is a giveaway sign. We have had accidents over the years, so that would be a reducer again. We could then actually, on the acceleration level, just after Kunoff Street, there is another street light, which would slow down again on the upward round, and I think that'd be enough to give us down through the childcare centre and everything. There'd be enough reduction of speed. So I personally would like to see at least three in there.
So you've gone back to three. You're missing one either side of the childcare centre, do you feel? You're coming off the other end.
Off of Head Street, we'll have one just after Cummings. So that's just before you hit the 40K zone and hit the bend. And I think
straight after the school then for traffic coming the other way?
Well, you could, but again, because you're up on Kunoff Street, on the other side of it, you wouldn't get enough momentum on a upward bound, and then you're straight onto the 40K zone. There's only approximately 6 metres.
Sorry, the 40K zone doesn't always wash the speed off. Listening to the residents in the area, the speed sign seems to be treated with contempt.
Look, it's an option. I'm just saying, once you have slowed down for that, to get the speeds they are hitting at, because it's an uphill acceleration again, from that point, they're not going to get to the incident the other day, apparently 104 kilometres an hour, down through that chicane area. But again, I'll be more than willing to put another one in agreeance with that, just before the childcare going down that hill again.
Okay. Thank you. I'll go to Councillor Heenan.
Thank you, Your Worship. Talking with the Deputy Mayor and Councillor Brown just before the meeting started, we looked at putting in at least three there, and probably, as the deputy just said, maybe even four. But with $30,000 for lights, I suggested maybe to Councillor Brown that we might be able to upgrade the lights using the existing light poles there to either put another arm out or put a stronger lights in the existing light poles that are there and follow that right around. Because it wouldn't cost anything near $30,000 a light then, so if we could, you know, maybe a couple of thousand per light with the speed humps are, and that would save a lot, and that would then we could put all the extra, you know, three or maybe four or whatever speed humps in and upgrade the lights, but don't, you know, use the existing light poles. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Heenan. Councillor Milkey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The issue has now been, over the past year or so, has elevated this particular patch of road to a higher risk in terms of liability on us elected members. We do nothing, we're going to possibly be negligent in that sense from a risk point of view, but if we do the wrong thing as well, we're probably equally at risk. What I'm hearing is, although I think the intent is good, but I'm just hearing obstacles along that road, and if we put in any kind of speed restriction instrument, but inadvertently create more of an opportunity to, more of a hazard rather than a reducing of the risk hazard, rather it increases the risk of a hazard with a car hitting it at top speed and probably flying off and landing into someone's front yard or someone's bedroom. So some of the comments that have been made on Alice Springs News Online have been quite productive in watching the story that they printed and some of the feedback. It highlighted that we need to be very mindful of the count as a result that might occur without us intending for it to occur in a negative sense. So I would like to make sure any suggestion that we put up tonight is going to be supported by the relevant professional organisation that can actually support before we go and implement these things. Some of the things that I do think we need to do, simple things though, we could firstly reduce the speed from 60 to 50. That's, I understand that it's not going to have a big immediate impact, but it's a beginning of the recognising of the risk that's along that road, from 60 to 50 k's. I also notice that I drive the road regularly and there are no white lines split down the middle of the road. So I think painting it a single white line without a break so no one's allowed to overtake would be another start.
Residents will have difficulty entering their properties.
You can enter your property and cross over a white line, but you can't overtake, as I understand the road rules. And certainly there will be breaks in between T-junctions. So where traffic is entering Woods Terrace, we cannot certainly have a break. But I think, and then furthermore...
Come on, guys, please.
Furthermore, we could also paint on the road as we've done opposite the netball stadium. Big words, slow as they approach. I mean, these things are visual. It has some sort of an effect. But honestly, I don't know what you could have done to slow that accident down that had occurred that Councillor DeBruni, Deputy Mayor DeBruni has alerted the elected members on. If someone's going to speed and if they're going to be intent on raising the risk for themselves to harming them and others, other than stopping traffic full stop, which is not an option, I don't know what else we can do. But I'm just being mindful that if we introduce a risk reduction, we don't actually inadvertently introduce a hazard, another hazard to add to the problem.
I'd also like to contribute.
Certainly, Councillor Price.
Just with regard to creating hazards, if we look at Nelson Terrace, which has got those flat top speed bumps already in there, that hasn't created hazards for residents using that road. I'm in support of the idea of putting four of those flat top speed bumps in the appropriate places. If we need five, then we use five. The idea is you slow people down, they're not going to speed up again, create enough speed to come flying off the next one coming around, I don't believe. Once residents know that is a street, like Milton Terrace is known, that's a street that has those speed bumps through it, people are going to use them at a lot more safer speeds, I believe. So I'm certainly in support of the use of those speed bumps throughout that area.
Thank you, Councillor Price. I'm going to go to... Sorry, you haven't finished, Councillor?
No, good. I'm happy to wait.
Can I go to Councillor Brown?
Yeah. All right, I'd just like to speak in support of the idea of having four speed bumps at their locations as discussed. I think that'll work. clearly the idea of signs and lines and things have no effect whatsoever. What we're dealing with here is people that like to use that area as a bit of a racetrack, not law-abiding drivers, and if we could have stopped them with a sign, we wouldn't have had anything happen in the first place. Clearly the speed bumps will affect its use as a nice little street circuit for accelerating cars, and locals that are doing so will know that the speed bump's there and the usage will stop basically forthwith, I think you find. So I think that that's a sensible option and we should move ahead with it as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Understanding we're at the end of November and we're not going to get any construction done in December or January with the process, I'd like to propose to the group is that we really do need to ask our Acting Director of Technical Services to produce some timelines on it. I think I'd like to go out there with any members interested to actually see these. But in the meantime, and Councillor Melky's concerns raised, I think that we should instigate using, now we're heading into school holidays, one of our lit street signs out there, clearly stating what the speed limit is in that area. At both ends, I know that is a product that we have to take from somewhere else to do, but I would think those two lit signs should be put in place now, and we should be looking to make a decision by the end of January under our normal meeting process. The construction of whatever we decide on could happen in February, but we are clearly not going to get something done in November or December in construction because of the holiday area and business closing down for Christmas. So I'll just go back to Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in support of the direction you're taking us. I just want to make a couple of quick points in response to Nelson Terrace. Nelson Terrace is not comparable to Woods Terrace, that the traffic flow from Woods Terrace is far more commercial, far more frequent than you would imagine residential traffic in Nelson Terrace. That would be, those kind of obstacles would become a hindrance to those vehicles, towing trailers, trucks, etc. It just it would slow things. I think we would create another challenge. And in any case, I would not support any decision tonight if it wasn't supported by the relevant professional consultancy, but certainly keen to have something done.
Thank you, Councillor Melky. I go to the Deputy Mayor, then Councillor Kudrenko, then Councillor Heenan.
I do agree with Councillor Melky in the regards to the size of the speed bumps. We can't use what is in Nelson Terrace. That's why the 150s were put up. In regards to lines, signage, everything like that, the biggest thing is once these are out, people will know. These people are out there at the moment knowing that this stretch is open slather. And that's what's happening. With a reduction in their community, we'll find out these people will divert away from that area once the reducers are in there. We can put signs up, we can put double lines, you do whatever you want, but at 2 o'clock in the morning, people aren't looking at lines or speed limits when they're attacking that at the moment. And we've got to be realistic with it. So, yes, again, education, exactly what was said there. Once we do have everything in place, we put the signs up as an education. Our signs letting them know that this is a change of traffic conditions, change of usage of area, and that these reducers are in town. So I can't agree, unfortunately, Councillor, with signage and that, that will not stop people that we are targeting, that are causing the problems.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Do you support the idea of signage from now over the Christmas break in the way of the lit signs?
Yep, I do.
They're clearly discussing the fact of washing off some speed.
Yep, I do.
While we go through the process. All right. Thanks, Deputy Mayor. I'll now go to Councillor Kudrenko.
Thank you very much. I've gone back to the report which we received from our consultants, Greenhill Consultants, back in April this year, who provided us with suggestions on how to solve this issue. And I think following that report, since then we have put in place a impact absorbing bollards in a couple of places. We've resolved to do that. But in my mind, we haven't put in place adequate preventative measures to reduce the speed. The fact of the matter is, it's a large number of people that live on that street, as well as a childcare centre, which is a high-risk area when we're talking about speeds. And when we put in place our, I don't know what the device is called, but the the device, which was recording people's speed through that stretch. This was following our report. Yeah, the camera that observes people's speeds. In the report we received in April showed us that there were speeds in excess of 100 kilometres an hour going through there. And I don't think there was... The maximum speeds were all over 80 kilometres an hour across every time range within the day. So even in the middle of the day, there were people driving over 80 kilometres an hour. And I think we can talk about a whole range of solutions, but when people are driving that fast in an area where people live and there is a childcare centre, I think, unfortunately, speed humps is the minimum best that we need to go ahead and do, and I would support four. And I think we do need to set the time frame around not prolonging this any further, and I'd be happy to take it to January at the longest.
And just one other point around the figures that we're showed there at the moment, we'll have to find that within our existing budgets to do that. But we need to... I'm a bit confused between the 25,000 and then the 30,000 for lights. It wasn't really clearly explained how each of those came to 56,000 or whatever it was. I'd like to see that fully explained, but support your emphasis on that. I go to Councillor Heenan, then back to Councillor Melky.
Yeah, thanks, Your Worship. One of the things we probably could do maybe is to, for the time being, until something comes to fruition on the three, four, or five speed humps there. And another issue is that, you know, if we do those, do these speed humps, we might not need those bollards, so there'd be a bit of saving there. If we don't, that's a different issue. But the other thing is the police have a portable speed cameras. That might be a suggestion that we could leave, ask them if they have a spare one there. They could put it onto that corner somewhere on the street there that we could they could record, and also then find people that are doing over 60k an hour just until we get these speed humps in. It's just an idea, Bill. So then if we could maybe have two separate issues, maybe we could pass the speed humps tonight and ask the acting director to look at maybe a costing on doing the lights separate, using existing light poles that are there, upgrading the light poles instead of spending $30,000 on a separate light poles. If we could get the acting director to look at costings on using existing light poles. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Heenan. Passing it tonight, I don't think we're going to get it done before January because of the structure of putting things out to tender and going through the process. So, and passing it tonight doesn't really clearly give us a clear indication. So I support your energy to get it done quickly.
But at least we can get it passed tonight so we can get it actioned.
Right.
As I say, you might not get it done, till December, January, or even February. But at least, if we can get the ball rolling now, if we can, pass this, just make these lights a separate issue, and look at the three, four, or five. If we all go out there and have a look and decide how many we need.
My concern is, I don't really think that the pricing being given to us is a clear indication. I'm a bit concerned about the pricing that's been put on the table. I wouldn't be comfortable in passing this tonight on the report that we have there without the solid pricing on it. That's my concern there.
Okay, fair enough.
That's what I'm really keen to see.
Okay, so when's our next meeting?
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Okay, we'll have a price by then, and we can action the whole thing then.
I can ask the acting director what he feels.
Mr. Mayor, we'll certainly do our best to get some prices to you by the next council.
Okay, thank you.
But if they can have a separate issue, maybe a separate issue on the lighting, because that might take a bit longer, maybe, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just in answer to your bollards, most homes turned the bollards down. There's only two homes we're putting the bollards out the front of, and we've agreed to that. So the other properties that we offered bollards to had said that they didn't want them. So.
Okay, thank you.
I've got your light, but I'll go to Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm like everyone here. I'd like to find a solution, but it needs to. And at the time we arrive at the qualified solution that we can all support, that sounds like it's going to take some time. In the meantime, we need to be proactive to recognise the risk that's been raised, and we need to do something immediate. And those things that we can do immediately are what you suggested, Mr. Mayor. In addition to that, we can lay some paint on the ground. Can't be that hard and can't be that expensive. Supporting this procedurally tonight would commit us to this exact motion, and has already been discussed and pointed out by the Mayor more than one occasion tonight that we don't have necessarily enough information to go by. Although it's going to be a January decision and it might mean a longer delay, we need to prove to the community around Woods Terrace that we are recognising the risk and we're doing something. We're not necessarily sitting back doing nothing, and so slowing the speed limit, that can be done. Paint, that can be done. Signage, that can all be done. Things that we've already got in place and can be readily put up. So I'm quite happy to move to defer this motion and maybe introduce separate motion.
Before you defer, from the last discussion, the recommendation tonight is that Council further investigate option 3, which is the flat top humps per location. There's a cost there to upgrade street lighting. So I think we're still in the same process. It didn't say how many of them, but it's what we're asking the acting director now is to come back to us at the next meeting exactly with those costs. Then we can decide how many we can afford to put in. But I don't know whether I would actually change the resolution that's come through from committee, because I think that clearly covers it.
So
Nothing's been done since the last meeting because the resolution recommendation had to go through tonight.
The way I read this recommendation, if it goes through tonight, we're still talking about implementing flat top humps, but without any further up to however many we agree to, subject to costs, without actually being provided any further details in terms of safety or potential hazards that it might cause.
Well, it clearly says here to meet Australian standards. So the risk factor is covered by that fact there, that we're clearly stating Australian standards.
Okay. Okay. I'll be silent on that now. Thank you.
I'll go back to Councillor Kudrenko. Are you happy to go back into standing orders? All right, well, I'll get you to do that if I could.
Standing orders be removed. Resumed. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Councillor Kudrenko. Understanding that, and put somebody else in the room who understood what Councillor Kudrenko wants. Second it. Deputy Mayor, thank you. So that clears 3 and 4, but I'll now move on to 7, which was brought forward by the CEO. Withdrawn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 7 is in relation to the Sports Facility Advisory Committee. Now, the report on item 7 can be determined by the vote of Council tonight, but at last week's SFAC meeting, the issue of the netball tenant cleaning machine again arose. That's the machine there's been some discussion about between the SFAC, the netball, and also the group that's coordinating the actual netball facility. And at the last meeting of SFAC, the clear recommendation to Council is that the Council purchase through SFAC funds that machine. Now, prior to that, there was discussion about whether or not netball should contribute 50% of the cost. There was a grant application submitted by Netball which was unsuccessful. Further discussion at last week's SFAC meeting arrived at the conclusion that the asset should be Council's. The running of it is the Netball Association's, and I was asked to expedite it by raising it at this evening's meeting, and I know the Deputy Mayor chaired that meeting and can answer any further questions, Mr. Mayor. The estimated cost is $20,390.
Thanks, Mr. CEO. Are there any questions of the CEO or the Deputy Mayor? Okay, so we need to actually put a motion down here that Council, through SFAC, SFAC committee purchase said machine.
Yes. At an estimated cost of $20,390, yeah. Mr.
For the use solely at the netball facility. We don't want to see find out it's gone to the basketball or anywhere else at this stage.
It's for the netball, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you be happy to move... sorry, Councillor Kudrenko.
Is this machine... Council workers will be using this machine to maintain this council asset?
No, this will...
Sorry, explain to me.
Through the chair, no. The intention is that netball will run, organise, maintain, provide the products to clean the netball facility.
Thank you.
And basketball currently clean their facility? Yeah, so... but we're providing the piece of machinery to do it is from this movement. So... if I could ask the Deputy Mayor from SVAC to move that motion.
Yes, I'd like to move that. Thank you.
Councillor Heenan?
That's right. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That was my question. My question as well. So the Council would actually buy it and maintain it and service it, but the netball people would actually use it.
They'll operate it.
Okay, right, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Deputy Mayor, you'll move. Have we got... Sports Facility Advisory Committee purchase a floor cleaning machine for exclusive use at the netball, Alice Springs Netball Centre, I think might be the best wording there.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like the word estimated cost, please.
If we just put that in brackets, estimated cost $20,390. That will allow, if we move this motion now, that will allow the sports facility officer to go out and get tenders for this and purchase the unit.
Correct. We have already sourced the supplier. We have quotes in. They are local.
Okay.
So that'll be just followed through to its conclusion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. So I'll just leave that in there to be moved with the 3, 4 and 7. So I'll go back to the Chair, Councillor Melky, and get you to move off 3, 4 and 7.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I please now move in favour of 3, 4 and 7, please?
Thank you. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Brown, all those in favour?
Yep.
Any against? Thank you. Thanks for that. I'll now move on to the CEO's report that's presented there. Ask for somebody to move it. There are some recommendations in here. Just that the report be received and noted, that's correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. Yes.
All right, somebody moved the CEO's report. Councillor Brown seconded. Councillor Melky, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now I'm going to go to our Acting Director of Finance. We have three reports here this evening. I'll go to 14.2.1 first of all, which is the acquittal of the library operational grant. This is a product that comes up every year to Council. We need recommendation to Council. Note the acquittal of our operational fund from 15-16 of $595,262 ex-GST for the Alice Springs Town Library. So this is a process that we need to go through, and then it's got to be signed and returned by the CEO. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. If somebody move that one, please. Councillor Melky, seconded. Councillor Heenan, those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Our next report from Finance is another acquittal. It's a Northern Territory Government Special Purpose Grant. Now, this is for a training program. Is this the one, not the one 2 weeks ago, this is the one,
that was
earlier
in
the year?
Darwin, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, the one in Darwin, okay.
Yep. No, I think this was the first one
this
held
one
out here.
The Deputy Mayor went to, and our former Councillor, Chancy Pope.
And myself,
and
yes.
Yourself.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yes.
So this was funding of $25,000 from the Department of Housing and Community Development. I would have thought it would have come from the Department of Housing, Local Government and Community Development back then. Didn't?
No.
Okay.
The source, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Has been spent, and then there's also one for a purchase of a commercial trailer to be used as an anti-graffiti campaign. So if somebody moved the acquittal of both of those, all the paperwork there's in front of you, the CEO needs to sign this. Councillor Brown moved, Councillor Heenan second, thank you. Now, one more. This report put up by Finance is around the continuation of Wi-Fi in the Todd Mall. So this is the costing. It's all laid out there. The recommendation is that Council continue to contribute 50% of the Wi-Fi costs, providing that annual increases are kept to a minimum acceptable level. There is a clear amount in there. Any discussion? Moved by Councillor Kudrenko, seconded by Councillor Heenan. Those in favour? Any against? Thank you very much, Director of Finance. You got through that very easily, I thought. Now I'm going to move on to Corporate and Community Services. Director, we have one here this evening around a liquor licence application. Recommendation from your department, Director, is that Council does not object to the application from Jai Ho Restaurant for a new liquor licence at its premises located at the Alice Springs Dust Bowl, Gap Road, Alice Springs. Any discussion?
Just one question to the Director. Just so that I understand the application before us, is this just basically changing the name of the business entity holding the licence and the conditions remain the same?
Thank you, Councillor Kudrenko. Yes, indeed, the application is for a change of licence in layman's terms. It was originally under the auspice of the parent group, the Dust Bowl, and now it's standalone restaurant.
Thank you. But the conditions remain the same?
The conditions remain the same.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Have somebody move that then, please? Councillor Melky, seconded, Deputy Mayor. Those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Thanks very much, Director. And Acting Director of Technical Services, I have nothing on my list. Is that quite correct? Good?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
Good on you. Now, I'm going to move back to Councillor Melky, who brought up a couple of issues before. Talked about TCA report from the AGM. So over to you, Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the TCA AGM recently and found myself amongst good company. Great AGM, great outcome. I'm happy to report, as per the Tourism Central Australian formal media release and report to its members, that the members of the TCA board are now returned to position. Dale McIver is also the chair. Randall Walker was returned. He is the treasurer. Kathy Graham, I think, was also returned. Brian Dinty, Rex Nydorf, who also received an award for his long-standing service. Todd Greeson, Grant Wan, who also received an award for outstanding service. Jen Stanish White, Kate McMaster, and Rebecca Walker. John DiMaria, Jill Catchlove was also on the committee. The chairperson prior to seats becoming or declared vacant provided a report. In that report, one of the issues was an issue relating to money that had been stolen or stolen money. This matter has now been closed off with the NT Police. Simply they found that it can go no further. No one has been identified as the perpetrator, and they've simply closed that issue off. There was another matter that was raised by the chair, and that was that made things a little bit more awkward. She tabled our response, as the Alice Springs Town Council response, to the invitation by TCA to join the board as a non-voting member to be an observer on the board. And she read that out, I thought, well enough to attract silence, other than when she confirmed that the board of the TCA had declined our suggestion or counter proposal to retain our voting position, that the board had decided not to accept our counter proposal, and a awkward silence broken by a hear, hear, as if to suggest that, very awkward for me being there, the only councillor there to represent council, that we really weren't welcome there. And I thought, okay, yeah, stage exit, stage left out of here, I think, very quickly. I was thinking along, thought about it afterwards and thought, how did we get to the stage where two very important organisations who do so much work for tourism, and particularly what Alice Springs Town Council does for tourism, with all our in-kind support and our cash donations and right across the board, hundreds of thousands of dollars that it takes to upkeep the ovals, the sporting grounds, and I can go on and on. How does the Alice Springs Town Council get relegated to being the bad guy in that environment? And I was wondering what we could do to, and I thought it was very important to bring it back to this chamber, because clearly I wasn't going to be invited to speak or defend our position there. Probably at risk of being tarred and feathered, to be honest, and I wasn't going to risk that. I just think we need to get back on the table to discuss it, and I took the CEO's advice and to stay silent, and but I thought I can't be silent here. I think we need to address the issue, and that is to mend, how do we mend the relationship that some members felt so strongly about, or one particular member felt so strongly about, that he wanted to hear, hear, call out, hear, hear, that we have been denied our proposal, our counter-proposal. So I leave it to you, elected members, to do what you wish with that report, but I would make a recommendation that we immediately re-engage this new board with its return chair and find a way to patch our differences and see if we can work together proactively, and maybe we can reconvince them that a voting position on their board would be of benefit to the community, and that we all need to put the community first, not just, you know, individual interests. I think the Alice Springs Town Council deserves to be on their board with full voting rights. That's my position on that issue. Over to you.
Thank you, Councillor Melky. 2 years ago, TCA decided that they changed their constitution. I had sat on that board for 8 years, I think it was, along with the CEO. But their decision was that we were no different to government, which was rather interesting because we're not part of Tourism NT or not part of Parks and Wildlife. Their decision was clearly that we could have a observation status, but when it came to a vote or anything of any concern, we'd be asked to leave the room. To be quite honest, Councillor Melky, I did put 8 years in. I am on numerous committees across the town, and our door is always open to any proposal from TCA. I don't really have the time to go and sit there as an observer, and we don't do the same to them in return. We give them a position on our Tourism Events Promotions Committee, and they have a vote like everybody else. So that's a clear direction of where their board wants to go. And I, when they wrote to us a month ago and asked us about taking up an observer's position, we again said thank you, but we're pretty busy. So, you know, look, it's the chair at any stage can come and meet with the CEO, or come and meet with council, or come and report to council, or come and speak to any one of us. So I still feel the same way. Without being part of the board, that is their decision. I think we just move on.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, if I may just say, I omitted to mention, and I should have mentioned also, that upon entry I registered as I should have, and initially was declined the opportunity to vote, then returned the vote, then taken away the vote, then only to be returned again the vote. So there was a bit of confusion as to whether Alice Springs Town Council had the right to vote. So that was making things even more awkward. But just in reply to your point, I certainly was not in any way, shape or form intending or suggesting that you weren't you were liable in any way. That's not my intent. My point is that I support the fact that we should have a position and a voting position, and I agree with you that we don't need to be an observer position, because quite honestly my response to the observer position or the invitation to be an observer is I don't think that organisation needs an observer. I don't think they do anything wrong. Why would they need an observer?
Okay, I enjoy your passion that you're giving this evening over this, but I would clearly say to you, we have stated our position of this council to TCA, and they have made their decision, so we'll just keep moving on. And as I say, the door is always open to my office or the CEO's office to assist Tourism Central Australia with any issue that they may have. We've never turned them away from that. So it's really up to the chair of that board, but they've made their decision, and I think that's it. I also am a member of TCA, have been for quite a number of years, so, and council has been a member for a long time. So I'd say it was just a communication error that they didn't think you could vote. All right, Mr. CEO.
Oh, thank you. Just apropos your comments, Councillor Mockey, in relation to voting, council couldn't have been denied an opportunity to vote because we are a fully paid up financial member. It might have been the representative of council that might have been in question. I might just say I have an ongoing dialogue with the general manager of TCA. I was invited to be returning officer again for I don't know how many years that's been going on, so we've continued our working relationship. It's just at this other level there is this difference. So on a day-to-day basis, it's business as usual.
Thank you. Councillor Melky, you had another issue, the RSL club rock throwing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the incident well documented in the Centralian Advocate, there was an incident where patrons of the RSL club were found themselves in a situation where they were pelted with rocks. One individual, one lady who was hit, according to the report in the paper, back of the head and on the front, I think it was. I can't remember the exact, but she was hit twice. The rocks were fairly sizable rocks. It was done by two individuals from the Anzac Hill, back of the RSL, bottom of the Anzac Hill on the other side of the fence.
Didn't we discuss this at forum the other week?
Possibly.
Have you got another side?
I do. I was just wondering, putting another question to it. What I was concerned about was the Alice Springs Town Council. What is our obligation and or liability when it comes to Anzac Hill and that area in terms of being lit? Can we or should we consider lighting that lower part of the hill? So, because it was 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, according to the report, I'm wondering what our obligations and liability to our neighbours, being the RSL Club, to make safer that area with lighting, and I would be in support of an attempt to light that area. I don't want to sit here and discuss the disappointment that would obviously that the all of us would feel that this incident had occurred, but I'm just wondering what Alice Springs Town Council can do further to just reduce the risk of that kind of thing happening again in that particular area.
Thank you, and through the chair. The RSL has had a number of break-ins of late, and rock throwing was probably exacerbating the issues there are there, Councillor Melky. Council has a duty of care across the municipality. The question is, is Council ignoring a risk? Is Council, being somewhere errant in not attending to these issues? I don't believe Council in any way is shirking its responsibilities. If there was a direct request that council received, it would be considered accordingly, either through the RSL or through the police or through a number of consultative groups that we have in place at the moment. So I guess it is a domino effect as well, because council looks at one area, somewhere else there's a similar area. I'm not aware of council being derelict in any of its responsibilities by not advocating lighting at that location at this particular stage. Rock throwing has been reported in a number of areas in town, through the Gap, for example. So it isn't isolated to that area, unfortunately, Councillor Melky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. CEO. Recently we received, the Mayor had received directly from the management of Peter Kittles, a concern or presented with a concern in relation to rock throwing on their vehicles. I'm not for a moment suggesting that we aren't negligent. I'm just wondering, now that this incident had occurred, that now puts it on the radar, and I'm just wondering if we can do anything else to, by way of lighting, that would support or reduce that risk in that specific area. Notwithstanding that, yes, I understand and agree that it is unfortunately all over town, but in that specific area they seem to be able to climb back down, it's dark, can't be seen, and we are neighbours with the RSL Club. That's where I'm coming from.
Thanks, Councillor Mielke. Without notice. Any other business from councillors? No. Anything from you, Councillor Price?
No, good here.
Thank you. Matters for media attention, we would be happy the media present here this evening will deal with those. Our next ordinary meeting, which will be a combination committee and ordinary meeting, is on the 12th of December here in this chamber at 6 o'clock. So there being no other business, I ask for a motion to adjourn to the confidential section. Move, Councillor Heenan. Sorry, did you have a question?
No.
Seconded, Councillor Mielke? Okay, thank you very much.